风声、雨声、开盘声，声声入耳。股市、汇市、房市、天下事，事事关心。欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周财经节目。每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出，电话425-321-2659。
2021年1月15日星期五，各位听众朋友们大家晚上好，这里是西雅图中文电台每周财经节目，我是主持人金。我们来共同回顾一下2021年第一期财经节目的股市状态。北京时间16日凌晨，美股周五收跌，拜登公布了1.9万亿美元的财政刺激计划，美股的财报季也拉开了序幕。摩根大通等大型银行率先公布财报，新冠疫情重新引起了市场的担忧。欧洲多国实行更加严格的居家隔离政策令。道指收盘下跌177.26点，或0.57%，报30814.26点。纳指跌114.14点，或0.87%。报12998.50点，标普500指数跌27.29点，或0.72%，报3768.25点。陶氏、雪佛龙、英特尔、波音及高盛领跌道指的成分股，能源、金融和工业是标普500指数中表现最差的板块。本周道指与纳指分别下跌0.9%和1.5%。结束此前连续四周上涨的情形，标普500指数本周下跌了 1.5%。 汇市方面，在美国的长周末即将来临之际，美元受到了月中的仓位调整推动，创出了9月份以来的首次的连续两周上涨。与此同时，随着一些央行会议即将在下周召开，市场的风险偏好减弱，资源型货币追随大宗商品和股市一道走低。美元指数升 0.60%， 报 90.79%， 盘中触及到 90.80%， 为去年12月21日以来的最高，周线收高 0.8%， 创下了11周以来的最佳的单周表现。数据显示，新冠疫情对经济持续造成的影响，新冠感染的病例不断增加，也抑制了风险的偏好，这倒提振了对美元的避险需求。美国零售销售逊于预期，另外有报道称辉瑞通知欧盟接下来的3到4周内将无法按照计划提供所有的疫苗。据上述消息影响，避险需求急需增加，投资者担心拜登政府的经济刺激计划可能难以赢得广泛的支持。美国零售销售在去年12月连续第三个月下降，因为减缓新冠病毒传播而出台的新政策引发了就业岗位的流失，这进一步说明2020年底处于困境中的经济步伐大大放缓。疲弱的数据拖累了美国国债收益率走低，美国的股市也下跌，令投资者在周五变得更加厌恶风险。 Tempus Inc. 高级外汇分析员表示，我觉得在所有关于疫苗的乐观情绪之后，我们现在回到了疫苗接种非常缓慢的现实当中去，这给商业活动带来了沉重的压力。尽管政策和援助计划即将出台，但我们的医疗方面有更多的保障之前，市场是不会继续繁荣。分析师表示，美元从上周开始由3年的低点反弹，如果经济状况继续恶化，这一趋势可能还有进一步持续的空间，但美元的较长期前景仍然是呈现着疲弱的状态。我们再来看一下大宗商品黄金期货，金价周五走低，现货黄金一度大跌 1.25%， 刷新近四日新低，来到了 1823.45 美元每盎司，为本周以来的最大的日跌幅。A 美元继续上行， ETF 资金连续流出，盖过了黄金作为通胀对冲工具的吸引力。虽然当选的总统拜登周四宣布的财政计划一度帮助了刺激了所谓的再通胀的交易，但投资者仍然担忧该计划可能会因为国会的阻力而缩水。与此同时呢，在周五的一份报告中显示， 在新冠病毒疫情肆虐之下，美国的生产者价格指数增幅也弱于了预期。总的来说，在商品交易方面， COMEX 二月的黄金期货是收跌 1.2% 到 1829.90 美元每盎司。原油期货方面，油价周五跌逾 3%， 创下了三周最大的跌幅，美油创近四个交易日来的新低，至 51.83 美元每桶。因美元走强且美国经济数据疲弱引发的经济担忧， CMC Markets UK 市场分析师 David Madden 表示，全球的新冠疫情形势日益严峻，使原油需求前景受到抑制，导致油价继续走低。 WTI 2月份的原油期货收跌 1.21 美元，跌幅为 2.26%， 报 52.36 美元每桶。布伦特三月的原油期货收跌 1.32 美元，跌幅为 2.34%， 报 55.10 美元每桶。好，我们再来看一下一些大公司方面的动态。亚马逊正面临的新的垄断审查。在周四的一起集体诉讼中，消费者指控该公司与主要的图书出版商合谋，抬高了电子书的价格。该诉讼中表示，在2015年，亚马逊与五大出版商达成了反竞争协议，允许他们抬高价格，提价幅度最高可以达到 30%。 诉讼中表示，截至2018年，亚马逊控制了近 90% 的电子书市场，通过向消费者收取更高的费用，亚马逊从更高的价格中获得了极大的好处。腾讯音乐宣布27亿元收购了懒人听书100%的股权，后者将保持独立的运营。懒人听书成立于2012年，是一个提供有声书、相声、评书、播客以及其他电台节目的音频平台，盈利模式包括单点付费、会员付费以及广告等。台积电计划在高端芯片开发和工厂产能建设上进行规模史无前例的巨额投资，该公司将把2021年的资本支出增至250亿至280亿美元，同比增幅至少达到了 47%。 资金将用于对生产3纳米产品和5纳米产品的台南工厂和生产7纳米产品的台中工厂进行扩充，此外还将用于美国亚利桑那州的新工厂的建设。该工厂的生产力是力争在2024年实现量产的5纳米产品。截至在周四美国的收盘，台积电的市值达到了6615亿美元，比英特尔和英伟达的市值的总和还多出了898亿美元。思科系统和 Archaea Communication 两家公司在周四宣布了一项修正后的合并协议。思科系统现在将以每股115美元的价格收购 Archaea， 比在2019年的7月双方首次达成协议时商定的每股70美元的初始价格高出了近达 64%。 该交易扣除所有现金后的价值约为45亿美元，将成为思科历史上第五大收购案，这也将是迄今为止思科系统为完成一项交易而等待最久的一次。苹果公司已开始进行一项可折叠的屏幕 iPhone 的早期的研发工作，这可能是三星和其他公司类似设备的潜在的竞争对手。苹果公司已经开发出用于内部测试的可折叠的屏幕原型，但尚未最终确定推出可折叠的 iPhone 的计划。苹果公司在内部的讨论中，许多可折叠的屏幕的尺寸中，其中有一个包括展开后与 iPhone 12 Pro Max 上的 6.7 英寸类似的屏幕尺寸。对于苹果公司来说，这可能是一个根本性的转变，但可折叠的 iPhone 可能仍有数年之遥。美国的联邦通信委员会，也就是 FCC 表示，在迄今为止规模最大的中频段 5G 频谱拍卖中，第一阶段拍卖已经募集到了809亿美元的毛收入，创下历史记录。 Verizon 和 AT&T 预计将会成为此次频谱拍卖中的主要赢家。快手已通过港交所上市 聆讯，正式的进入上市的倒计时开始，显示2020年的前三季度快手各项财务收入数据是增加迅速，总收入达到了407亿元人民币，电商的 GMV 达到了2041亿元人民币，其中仅第三季度就达到了945亿元人民币。微软的联合创始人比尔盖茨已悄悄地在美国的各地购买了 24.2 万英亩的耕地，这足以使他成为全美国最大的私人农田的所有者。根据美国的地产月刊 Land Report 的最新的报道，这位身价近1210亿美元的富豪已建立了横跨美国18个州的大规模的农田投资组合。这些土地由盖茨的私人投资公司直接或者是通过第三方实体拥有。起亚汽车在15日宣布正式更名为起亚，这是继起亚在1990年从起亚产业更名为起亚汽车后，时隔31年再度更名。日前起亚还公开了全新的徽标和新的标语 Move the InspiresMovement that inspires， 就是出行激发灵感。起亚呢也将启动去年年初公布的中长期的未来发展计划 S Plan， 将业务范围扩展至电动汽车、出行、移动解决方案和服务、个性化定制车型等领域，在未来的印度移动出行新时代抢占先机。目前在金融管理的部门指导下，蚂蚁集团已经成立了整改的工作组，正在抓紧制定整改时间表，同时保持业务的连续性和企业正常经营，确保对公众金融服务的质量。亚马逊的 CEO Bezos 的私人太空公司蓝色起源 Blue Origin 计划在几个月内将其首批乘客送上太空边缘。蓝色起源在周四完成了 New Shepard 火箭助推器和太空舱的第14次试飞。这次试飞的成功是新型的助推器和升级的太空舱的首次亮相。这次试飞是蓝色起源将第一批机组人员送上太空之前的最后一步。蓝色起源计划在6周内或者是在2月底之前进行第15次试飞，并在之后的6周或4月初进行首次的载人飞行。医疗和科技集团正在联手开发一项数字疫苗接种护照。各方预期政府、航空公司和其他企业将会要求人们提供已接种新冠病毒肺炎疫苗的证明。疫苗的接种证书倡议是由微软、甲骨文和美国非盈利医疗机构妙佑医疗国际等结成的联盟，宗旨是建立标准来证明一个人已经接种了疫苗，防止人们虚假声称自己已对这种疾病具有了免疫力。运营服装连锁品牌优衣库等日本的速销总市值在1月的14日首次突破了10万亿日元，距离世界的服装行业宝座仅一步之遥。这一市值已经接近了世界上最大的服装厂商运营 Zara 的西班牙公司的800亿欧元，约合是 10.11 万亿日元。我们进入节目的第三个阶段，今天我们要讨论的一个话题可能大家会非常好奇，因为我们今天要讨论的话题呢就是教育问题。为什么一个财经节目会讨论教育呢？我们慢慢道来。再次欢迎我们本周的嘉宾 Sam。
Hello everyone.
Hey Sam, I just had a very brief opening. Our program is finance, but today's topic is education. So I sort of like gave us a little bit hint. Like, it probably sounds a little bit interesting, but I will share with folks why we'll do so.为什么我们在一个财经节目呢会讨论学校的教育问题？其实在无论是大学毕业四年，还是在整个的一个义务教育之后，所有的这些毕业生也罢，都会加入整个的一个劳动大军。 劳动大军势必就会影响现在的一个经济状况，所以我们要退一步来看，不看现在的经济状况，我们看一下未来会发生如何的变化，尤其是在大流行情况下。So we're not talking about how the current economy looks right now, but we're discussing about how the education will impact the economy in the future. I think the most recent future is going to be 4 years, right? For the college
yeah.
students. Right now it's under a pandemic. So first question to you, Sam. What is the school doing now?
So they're doing a lot of things. There is a lot of experimentation.Some schools, for example, are using tents and having their students go to class in an open environment. Some are trying to do remote learning. Some are trying to basically have a hybrid approach. Some are opening with some teachers working remotely that are, for example, more susceptible to, for example, coronavirus. So the students might be in class, but the teachers might be remote. And so there's a lot of innovation because of necessity that's happening right now.
Then if I ask you what is one word you're going to describe how is the school doing or the education system, what are you going to use?
Variable.
Variable. Cool.
I would say variable.
刚刚问到 Sam, 就是现在我们的整个一个教育体系是如何表现的。 Sam 用到了一个词就是非常的多元化，就是每个情况可能和每个情况都不太一样，但至于现在的学校和教育不一样在什么地方呢？然后再次问一下 Sam. So where does it vary? Like, what's the factors cause the varieties in the, like, for example, like, is that because of the districts? Is that because of the families?
Both, actually. So if you think about it from a perspective of districts tend to represent the zip code and the immediate community that's around it. So if it's a well-off community, meaning it's a rich community, it tends to have, you know, richer public schools, and there's also private schools, which are a separate thing. So that's part of it. So if you're in a, let's say, a neighborhood that isn't as financially solid, you will probably have less options. For example, the tenth example is a private school thing that I read about. So it might not work for every place. So it's very interwoven. And then the aspects of it that are also the family, it's realistically, it's also kind of related to the community. So it's a circular reference, if you will.
像 Sam 说到的，其实这种不同的这种境遇是因为就比如说是一种学生和家长之间的关系吧，或者是整个的一个学生的一个家庭的一个经济状况也罢，还有包括是不是就是那种公立学校、私立学校，各种都会影响现在的一个在美国的这个一个教育情况。Let's go back to our previous question. So about the education. So all the problem right now, I see like everyone saying, okay, there's no one size fit all such solutions. I think it's always that way. And why we discuss it now?And why right now it sort of like seems more important?
That's a wonderful question. So you're right. The problems that we're discussing actually aren't very specific to COVID. What has been happening in the United States is there has been a divergence in education depending on, you know, basically zip code, right? Like we were saying earlier. And so if you're in a nice neighborhood, you're going to have more options.So what happens is COVID and all the solutions that were created before were sort of short-term thinking and not necessarily holistic in their approach on trying to solve the problem. And so what happens is you add COVID into the equation, and then all of a sudden all those problems are very evident and even more impossible to ignore because now you have all these other extra burdens that this terrible pandemic is, you know, causing society.
我们现在所有讨论这个问题，教育问题，就像这种一刀切的这种教育政策，其实并不是一个新问题，只是由于大流行病而更加的显现出来了，而且有些问题可能正是因为现在这个新冠的大流行病的一种情况下而在加剧着。 So with all the problems we're discussing, right, the zip code and about the families, economic situations, and also or is in private school, mm-hmm. or is in public school. I think right now is no deny. There's no denying about the problems. Is there any some sort of like experimentation or solutions trying now on the ground for the situation and the pandemic?
Yeah, so there's a lot of very interesting experimentation that's going on and a lot of things that have been learned. So, for example, some schools are starting to play around with the idea of not having semesters, right? So you break the school year into two, you have seven classes, let's say, and students have to go to all of them. Mm. They've started looking at solutions that basically go by quarter, and maybe you'll have three classes. And so now the teachers have fewer students aligned to them. They can focus on a subject, really make sure that those students aren't being left behind, which leads to a second positive outcome, which is now the students are more familiar with their teachers and their teachers with the student and their family and their situation. So now we can start kind of tailoring their needs and the education into a cohesive story versus just marching forward to get the material done because you have to, you know, finish this by the end of this semester.
Mm. Sam 提到的其中一个尝试呢，就是像以前的一种固定的，比如说是一年的几个学期，一年的几个课程，而现在呢，因为在大流行的情况下，使得我们不得不做出更加的让步，就比如说是没有再像以前一样必须完成某些课程，必须是做出什么样的一种课程的进度，而现在呢可能是更加的可行性，对于可行度的情况下，我觉得大家更加重视了。 I think this is really good, like which is not just pushing on certain content to the student versus we trying to see how is more flexible and how much content we can deliver. So this is so far is really goodBut still, like, is there any reflection on how should we approach education differently?
Yeah, so in my opinion, what should be the key takeaway is that the communities and the families should sort of be a bigger portion of this education planning versus top-down planning. And so...If you think about it in a traditional school system, you say, we have this curriculum. This has been established for maybe, you know, 50, 100 years, and we need to, you know, make sure everybody gets this. But if you think about it, some people and some communities might need different things. They might be more advanced or they might be less advanced. They might have different needs. And so I believe that one of the keys for this is to understandthat we need to understand the inputs and the needs versus just blindly teaching something that might not necessarily be the most useful. That's one, I think, opportunity and change that's positive that could be done.
Sam 说到的这个就是刚刚我们提到这个一刀切的教育的局限性，因为每个孩子可能他的需求不一样，有的人表现和另外一些人的表现就不一样，所以就是如何使学校更加能够个性化适应孩子的这个需求。The last question I'm going to ask you, Sam, is like, right now I know it's a lot of pressure putting on, like, we're getting more funds for different economies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see airplanes and those economies. Is there anything from the government or from different sources to give some, like, assistance to the entire education system?
That was one of the things that was fought a lot when the relief package for COVID came out last year, because a lot of these funds are basically at the state level, right? So most states have their own school districts. And so that was some of the money that came in. In the new proposal from President-elect Joe Biden, there is a big multi-trillion dollar stimulus package to help the economy, and the hope is that that will also trickle, or I shouldn't use that word, that should be distributed to schools as well. And so that's the hope, but a systemic reevaluation of teachers and their value to society and how we pay for that is really the underlying theme for this conversation, because we've realized how important education is, how much we trust these public institutions, and to take care of our, you know, children. And I think that particular field and a concept really does need a different perspective on funding, whether it's, you know, adding internet to everybody or computers and other things. Like, the way education is done is different. And I think the discipline needs to be reevaluated how much money it is, because it doesn't seem like it's enough.
Yeah, I think right now is virtually a lot of parents might experience like how to teach their kids.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that experience will bring a different perceptions when they're looking at like the teacher right now. I think, yeah, it's a how we value them will give us definitely a different experience after the pandemic.
Yeah, it's the ROI is long term, right? Because the generation that we're speaking about now might be a lagging indicator on the economic impact. Like you said, with the 4-year people, especially the high school graduates, that's going to be the immediate test. But what happens with younger kids that might take, you know, 18 years for us to see what's going on with this particular solution? How do you fill those gaps in? And do you even fill all the gaps in? You know, was something kind of useful?
Just像Sam刚刚说到的，其实 整个的一个成功教育的成功和学生的成功其实是和教师的成功密切相关的，包括我们如何去重新思考支付教师的一个费用，包括就是他们在准备课程的费用，还有如何公平地补偿教师以及尊重教师的工作的重要性和复杂性上，我觉得大家对这一点都会进行更加深刻的理解。 将这场整个的大流行病给大家重新的一些思考，也同时揭露了很多这种艰难的冲突。在大家更多关注经济危机、卫生危机的同时，确实也要给予教育危机更多的关注。在这种情况下，我们还没有看到许多非常认真的承诺，但是 想在这边也启发大家，也重新思考如何重建和重新构想学校，给学生和教师带来更加良好的环境。好，以上就是本期节目的全部内容，非常感谢大家的聆听，我们下期再会。每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 Remax Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里湖冠名播出，电话 425-321-2659。